Sin is when you and I decide to go our own way in life. We decide not to follow where God has called us to go or be who God has called us to be. Sometimes we do it willfully. We see sin in front of us, and whether we just know we shouldn't or not, we just kind of cannonball into it because it's what our flesh wants in that moment. And then sometimes sin kind of comes on more sneaky. We can almost be like the frog in boiling water. We maybe make one choice here and one choice there, and it kind of leads us in a path where we didn't think we would end up, and it takes us down a road we didn't actually want to go. I don't care how your sin manifests or how my sin manifests. It's all rooted back to one thing. And the root actually starts in the book of Genesis. That's the first book of the Bible. If you go to the beginning of the Bible, it starts in Genesis. And in Genesis 1 and 2, we see that God creates man and woman and everything we see, and he calls it good. He says it is good, but then Genesis 3 comes. And in Genesis 3, we see that there is a tree in the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve are there, and there's a tree right in the middle. And God says, do not eat of this tree. If you eat of it, you will surely die. Adam and Eve experience tremendous freedom with God. They are able to walk with him in the cool of the day. They have unfettered relationship, but he gives them one rule. You will not eat of the tree at the center of the garden, because if you eat of it, you will die. Adam and Eve, tempted by the serpent, who the scriptures call Satan, come to eat of the fruit. And Eve is tempted, and she eats of it, and Adam gets some from Eve, and they're tempted by this line of questioning from Satan. That's something along the lines of, why aren't you eating from the center tree? And Eve says, well, because God says if we eat of it, we'll die. And he says something along the lines of, you will not die. You will truly live. He tells Eve, essentially, God's holding back on you. If you want to experience life, you need to break out from God's commands. If you want to experience true wisdom and knowledge, you need to take of what God said don't take of. And so that seems like a pretty good deal for Eve. She disobeys God, and Adam disobeys God, they sin. And you and I have been paying the price for it ever since. Both in nature, as we are children of Adam and Eve, and of choice, that you and I all have that tree in our life that God says, Craig, don't go there. Don't eat of this. If you do, you will bring death into your life. And I say, yeah, but I kind of want to, God. We do. We sin. We go our own way. You know, all sin starts with the same root. I don't care how it manifests in its life. Sure, it might look different for you than it does for me. Your sin might have more societal consequences for you than mine does for me. But all sin is rooted in the same thing. And that root begins with a lack of submission to God. Adam and Eve refused to submit to God. He told them, "Do not eat." And the first sin comes from, I will not listen, I will not obey, I will not come under what God has called me to do. And then you and I struggle in the same vein ever since. God tells us, don't go there, don't do that. And we go, yeah, but I kind of want to. What do you know, Lord? All sin is rooted in a lack of not willing to submit our life to the Lord, to his word, to his wisdom, to the Spirit's guiding, to him. We want to be the Lord of our own life. We want to make our own rules. We think we know what is best and how it will work out. And all of it is rooted in the same thing, a lack of submission. For Adam and Eve, they didn't submit to God's command, do not eat. And for you and I, we don't submit to God's commands. All of our flesh striking out. I find that to most of us, this word submission is kind of a dirty word. This idea that we would have to do something that we don't want to do strikes against the very nature of our flesh. And at least for me, there's something a little bald eagle American in me that's like, I'm sorry, have you all read the Constitution? I don't have to submit. I don't have to do anything. I'm an American, all right? And yet, what we're going to see today in God's word is that Peter's going to issue a challenging command. He's going to say, when people look at your life, they're going to see Jesus. So you better be a person of submission because Jesus was a person of submission. If you want people to see Jesus when they see you, you must be willing to submit, because Jesus was the ultimate one who submitted to the Father's will. And it bought us something really important, namely salvation. Today we're going to be in 1 Peter 2, 11 through 25, page 1729 in the blue Bible in front of you. You can go there in your Bible, 1 Peter 2, 11 through 25, page 1729, and we're going to see about Peter telling us about this word that maybe we don't like to hear, submit. It says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and sojourners to abstain from the sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives amongst the pagans." Pagans just means those who don't know Jesus. So live such good lives amongst those who don't know Jesus that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by the emperor to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect for everyone. Love the family of believers, fear God, and honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are of good conscience and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing good and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, and you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By Jesus' wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. There's a lot we could talk about this week. I actually thought about breaking this sermon into three different parts. You're welcome. I didn't. But I thought about it a lot. So there's just going to be certain things we don't cover in detail because I just felt like I wanted to read the whole bit together because this is a whole chunk, a whole argument. Because Peter starts out by reminding his readers of their identity, remember? He says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and sojourners." Remember, you are not from here. A foreigner, not meaning that you don't live in the town you are from, but rather that you're on your way to heaven. A sojourner, not meaning that you might not live in the same town where you were born for your entire life, but rather, as a Christian, you are simply camping on this earth until Jesus returns or calls you home. You are on your way to heaven, and as such, you are a foreigner or a sojourner. Your citizenship is of heaven. Your nationality is of heaven. Your ultimate home is of heaven. And in light of eternity, where you spend your time on this earth will feel momentary. Will feel short. So he starts by reminding his readers of their identity. Because for Peter, how you live is rooted in your identity. For Peter, it's never going to be behave, do these things. It's going to be this is who you are. And in light of that, live out of that identity. This is who God made you to be. And in light of that, this is how you ought to live. So you're a sojourner on your way to heaven, living here on this earth for a little bit. He then gives him instructions to flee from sin, to literally flee from the sin that wages war against their souls. And why? He doesn't root it in this idea of being holy as God is holy, like he does in chapter 1, but rather specifically because people are watching you. That's a challenging thing for Peter. He says, pagans are watching. And pagan isn't like a dirty word or a mean word. It just literally means it's a junk drawer. Everyone who doesn't know God. So he says, be aware, be careful, because how you live is a reflection of Jesus. And those who don't know Jesus are looking at your life and they are getting a picture of Jesus. They watch how you live, how you treat people, how you speak to people, how you live morally. And Peter says you need to flee from sin so that when people look at your life, they see Jesus. Amen. So when they look at your life, they see Jesus. Peter says you need to flee. So how you treat the cashier will show them a picture of Jesus. Remember, these people didn't have a church on every corner. They didn't have the scriptures on every corner. And they don't have Bibles in their print. So their way of seeing Jesus was followers of Jesus. And then they would look at them and say, well, if you follow Jesus and you treat me like this, this must be what Jesus is like. It was a challenge for them. But it's a challenge for us. Peter is essentially saying that your life and my life is a billboard. It's a billboard for other people to see Jesus. You can go ahead and throw that up. Our life is a billboard about what we believe about Jesus. What does yours say? When your neighbor looks at you, when your coworkers interact with you, when your kids are parented by you, when your teachers teach you, when the cashier checks you out, when the server comes by your table, what picture of Jesus are they given from your life, from my life? When people interact with you, how do you show them Jesus's? That's challenging, isn't it? That's convicting, isn't it? To think that my life is a billboard for people who will never pick up God's word, my life might be the closest thing they come to seeing Jesus. So what does your billboard say to those around you? Now, I understand that some of you are like, well, if I'm honest, my billboard's a little bit like the one that goes through the tornado, like the light is creaky and flickering, it's halfway ripped and just flapping in the wind. So you're just banking on like, I'll just point them to the next billboard down. Like, it looks a little better. It's easy to make excuses for our billboard because we all are imperfect, but are we growing over time in the likeness of Christ? What do those around us see when they see Jesus? That's a challenging question. Peter says they're looking. Do they see Jesus in you, or do they see you in you? When people see me, are they given a picture of the God we follow or not? Your life is a billboard. What do they see? What does it show? This would be challenging enough. This is one of the sermons. I was just going to do one sermon on this because it's challenging enough. But that's actually, for me, not the hardest part of this entire text. It gets far more challenging because then Peter says, submit yourself to the Lord's sake, to every human authority, the emperor as supreme or the governors or government in which he establishes. Submit, obey, listen to. In church, I can't be the only one that this is difficult for. I come from Adam and Eve. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like submitting. What do you mean if I eat of the tree, I'll die? No, I won't. I do what I want when I want. I'm an American. I go where I want. I do what I want. Don't tell me what to do. And as much as I struggle with my neighbor having to see Jesus in me, that's a good struggle in my flesh. As much as I struggle with like my kids needing to see Jesus in me and me being a billboard to my kids for Jesus, that's a good struggle. That helps me want to grow in Christ's likeness. That helps me want to treat all those I come into contact with so that they would see Christ. To submit to the United States Congress is not how I feel great about. Like, the idea of my life being a billboard, I'm like, okay, that's hard. It's challenging. But being like, submitting to the IRS, I'm like, okay. But I don't want to. What about the annoying things? Like, I'm going to be honest, and I'm not going to make eye contact with Colin Fueling because he's pulled me over before. That was a fun day for your pastor to be pulled over by someone. But, like, I have a real problem with this thing where there's a four-way stop and there's no other cars there and you just have to stop anyways. That's stupid. We can all agree on that, right? Like, I understand it's the law. And by the way, this isn't a hypothetical. It is the law. So if, like, hypothetically, you were pulling up to the four-way stop by Bryson Pool there, and there were no other cars around, and you weren't feeling very good, so you brought it down to, like, a safe mile per hour of, like, say, 5 to 15, and then you just kind of yielded around the corner, but there were no other cars there, but then maybe if a sheriff was down the road and saw you, they would pull you over because you didn't submit to the law. And in that moment, you would have a choice, knowing you're on body cam and that your parishioners might pull the footage, knowing you didn't submit. I struggle with that. I struggle to not mouth off to the cop like, oh, was I being dangerous? Good thing you got me today. Boy, that was really what was challenging. No one else at the stop sign. I struggle in my flesh to be like, yes, sir, I broke the law. You're doing your job. Go about it. I struggle to submit. My guess is you struggle to submit to godly authority. And Peter says, do we submit to them because they're holy, righteous, and good? No. He actually says that you submit to them because God is a God of order. So in your submission to God, out of that overflow, you will submit to governing and ruling authorities. He says every human institution, that God is a God of order, that there's order in the Trinity, there's order in the church. Next week, we're going to see about order in the home. In 3 weeks, we're going to see about order in society. Peter says, you are sojourners here. You're guests here, in a sense. You're on your way to heaven. So submit in the meantime. Take as many people to heaven with you by showing them Jesus. But you can't do that if they're slandering you, if they're saying, this person is a disruptor, this person doesn't submit, this person is not good for order or for community. You will not show them Jesus in that way. Do you find this to be challenging this morning? Because I found it to be challenging all week. This is difficult, at least for me. Maybe some of you are like, Craig, I think the government's run swell. What's your problem? Praise God, you're good. Just be like, not a problem. For the other 98%, this is challenging. God's word tells me to submit when I don't want to, that I'm a sojourner. Submission is hard. It is the root of all of our sins. I am a child of Adam and Eve, though I've been redeemed by Christ. I am fallen in my nature, and I don't like being told what to do. Don't like being told where to submit. It's the root of my sin problem. But I want to dig deeper. Why don't we like being told to submit? Why don't you and I want to submit in this life? You can go ahead and throw up the next slide. You and I do not want to submit because it might cause us to suffer. We've got to talk about this idea of suffering. You and I hate the idea of submission to the government or to the boss or to a spouse or to our parents if we're children living in the home. We hate the idea of submission because our soul tells us it will cause us to suffer in some way, to lose in some way. Now, don't think of suffering as only physical pain. I want you to think back to when you were in your childhood. At least for us growing up, the streetlights come on, that means you went home. Anyone else grow up like that? Like, streetlights come on, that was, we didn't have watches. So whatever time the streetlights came on, you had to come home. But what if in the middle of that, you were still in the middle of a basketball game? Or you're still playing with your friends? Or you're still, do they still have BB gun wars? We were having BB gun wars. I don't think you're allowed to do that either. Thanks, government. Jeez. If you're in the middle of those things, I had to make a choice as a kid. Am I going to submit to my parents who had a rule, come home, streetlights come on, come back from Adam Junga's house, ride your bike home? Or am I going to stay? Because if I leave, I'm going to suffer. I'm not going to finish the game I want to do, and I really want to do that. Or am I going to submit to those in authority over me and do what they've told me to do? Do you see? I don't mean don't build suffering up in your head as this gigantic thing akin to world hunger in suffering, but every time we have to submit, do something we don't want to do, it causes us to suffer in a way. Maybe you had a group of friends that wanted you to go and do something and you knew your parents wouldn't let you do it. But you're like, if I don't do this thing, I'm going to not be able to be their friend. I'm not going to fit in. I'm going to suffer. But I have to submit to my parents. All of us, when we refuse to submit, struggle because in our soul, it tells us, if you do that, you will suffer. When there's an opportunity put in front of us to either follow God's wisdom, or maybe the government, or whatever, to submit, our soul can yell back at us, yeah, right. If I do that, I will suffer, and I hate suffering. I hate lacking. I hate missing out. Think back to the beginning, church. Eve thought God was holding back on her. She had perfect relationship with God, but it just took one line from Satan that basically called God a liar. If you eat of it, surely you won't die. No, you're going to really live. So she had the choice. Do I submit to God's wisdom and not get to experience eating the fruit? But I really want to eat the fruit. And if I don't eat the fruit, I'm going to suffer. Or do I submit to God's wisdom that said, don't eat? All of our sin is a choice in those moments. Do we submit or do we suffer? Do we not do what we want to do? Do we believe that God knows best? Not all suffering is physical pain. To not buy the shiny thing that you've had your eye on, to not click the Amazon cart and click purchase, can feel like suffering. It's why there's a massive consumer debt problem in America. Because to not buy the thing you want to buy feels like suffering. I guarantee you, for the couple who's trying to wait till marriage for sexual intimacy, there are times where that feels like suffering in waiting. To those of us who are self-employed, every quarter, I have to write out a check to the United States Treasury Department. Because I'm self-employed. Pastors are self-employed. So every quarter, with my not as positive reviews on the government, I have to sit down and write a check to the United States Treasury. And I suffer in doing so. Because it is not a small sum of money for the flax, and it is just pixie dust for them. They don't steward it. They don't spend it well. They don't even receive it and think good. So yeah, we'll see you next quarter. And it is suffering to me. And I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that every single quarter there's part of me when I'm writing out that check thinking, I should just not. I'm done. I'm an American. Income tax is illegal, by the way. Like, I have that in me. And then I have God's word that says, Craig, you're going to submit to human authorities. Because when you don't pay your taxes, those that don't know Jesus are going to go, is that what Jesus looks like? That doesn't follow the law? I have God's word that tells me that you need to look like Jesus, and Jesus is one who is willing to submit and willing to suffer. So what Jesus submitted to and what Jesus suffered for bought you something. So will you walk in his footsteps? That's Peter's entire call to the Christian. He says the Christian must be willing to suffer because the Christian must be willing to submit because Jesus suffered and Jesus submitted to the Father's will. Peter reminds us this morning that in this way you walk out the steps of Jesus. In this way, you look like Jesus because through suffering, Jesus brought us salvation. Through submission, he won us heaven. Listen to what Peter says. It's 21 through 24. He says, to this you were called, suffering and submission. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in the body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By Jesus' wounds, you have been healed. Peter says, to this you were called, submission. Being willing to suffer. Why? Because Christ is the one who is willing to suffer. And when he left you and I an example, why do we not like to submit? Because we don't like to suffer. And yet Jesus was our example. We struggle to submit because we don't like to suffer. But if Jesus didn't submit to the Father's will, you and I will be bound to hell. On the night Jesus was betrayed, as he stood in the garden, he prayed, Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me, meaning the cross, but not my will, but yours. Peter says, Jesus was the one who submitted, and through his submission, you and I are bought to salvation. Through his wounds, we have been healed. The entire scriptures can be summed up in some ways like this. God made all things, and it was good. man and woman refuse to submit to God and broke relationship. Jesus submits to God and restores relationship. It is through submission that you and I are healed. So now you and I are called to walk like Jesus, being willing to suffer, being willing to submit, because Jesus is our example. So we suffer, we submit in gratitude to follow him. And on the cherry on top of it is when people see our life, it should point them to Jesus. In a world that refuses to submit to anything because it refuses to suffer, they can see a picture of Jesus when you are willing to submit and when you are willing to suffer, to carry your own cross. Because you know you're free, and you use that freedom to be a slave for Christ. We freely choose to do what God has called us to. As Christians, we submit to God alone first, but then we submit to his word, which is revealed. And in his word, it clearly calls us to submit to the governing authorities, to the rulers, to human institutions, which are families, which are churches. That God is a God of order. To be a Christian is to submit to God, and to grow as a Christian is to be learning to submit to others in reflection of Jesus. But this is kind of heady. What do you do practically speaking? Because if you're anything like me, and when I don't like what the Bible is telling me, I start thinking of loopholes, right? And so some of you are thinking right now, but I don't know, Craig, our government's pretty evil. They stand against God. What if they call me to sin? I'm not doing it. So just take that back to Mr. Peter and let him know. There's just a practicality to this. And we see this challenge in the scriptures. We see the Jewish midwives refusing to kill the children that they had been ordered. They disobey government. They don't submit. We see Christians in World War II in Germany housing Jews in their home. This was against the law in Germany to house a Jew in your house to protect them. But they did what was right to protect life. They didn't submit to Hitler, to the Nazi regime. And I believe they did good. So as Christians, we must discern at times when we must submit and when it'd be sinful for us to submit. So I put together a little grid for us to consider. This is just Craig's grid. You don't have to accept it. I think it's helpful for me to think through. There are times we are called to submit, and it is something that is good for us. And we can see it is good. As your teaching pastor, I submit to my co-elders. We lead together. We don't have one person on top. We have a co-team of leadership. We submit together. I think that's good. When I purchase something on the church credit card, I turn in my receipt so that, like, if I go to Walmart, you don't see that I, like, bought a TV or something, right? I think that's a good thing. Like, and I think all of you would agree, it is a good thing to have good financial stewardship within the church. That's a good thing, but I have to submit, and sometimes, I'm going to be honest, it's kind of annoying. I forget my receipt or I forget to grab it, but I submit. That's a good thing. Then there's these times where things are just annoying to submit to. A la four-way stops when there are no cars there. It's actually probably a good thing. Right, Colin? It is a good thing? Okay, Colin says it's a good thing. Officer Fueling says it's a good thing. He says you shouldn't kill people with your car. And I'm like, well, it's annoying, but I'm going to submit. And I have not got a ticket for a rolling stop since 2016. So by God's grace, I'm getting there, right? It's annoying to my flesh, though. Maybe it's not annoying to you, but that is the annoying thing to me. Maybe it's your employer makes you jump through a certain hoop that you're like, this is so annoying that I have to go take my break in the back room, or I have to clock out and do this kind of thing. It is really annoying for me to do that, but I can submit. It's not wrong. Then there's times where something is downright foolish. I'm not trying to be political, but I do not think that the United States government manages their money well. You can disagree with me on that, but I believe the way our government manages money is foolish. And I contribute to that foolishness by paying taxes. Because I'm willing to submit to the law over declaring their foolishness is sinful. Because sinfulness is the one place I cannot submit. That is the one place I cannot go. So if the government called me out tomorrow and said, Craig, you must kill your neighbor, I must say no. If the government came out tomorrow and said, you cannot worship Jesus, I must say no. Our brothers and sisters around the globe deal with this. Talk to a Christian in Bangladesh or India. They will tell you the challenge of what it is to live in a hostile place in China where you have to learn what to submit to and what is sinful. But if they tell you, you cannot acknowledge Christ as Lord, you must say no, for that would be sin. But if they tell you you must pay taxes in this way, it might be foolish, but you may go along with it. If your employer asks you to break the law, says, hey, I need you to start keeping two separate sets of books, you say, no, I can't go there. Well, you're going to lose your job. I cannot break my conscience and I can't submit to you. If they ask you to scrub a toilet, it might be annoying, but you can submit. This is admittedly a challenging thing because most of the time your flesh will tell you when things are good and when things are outright sinful. The trick is getting your flesh to agree that you need to submit when things are annoying or foolish. Most of us struggle and fall into sin when we're being asked to submit to things that are annoying and that we're just like, no, no, how about that? I do what I want. I have since the garden. I eat of what tree I want to eat. You don't get to tell me what to do. And then God's word stands here and says, actually, Craig, you're giving people a poor example of Jesus because he submitted to the Father. And through his submission, he bought you salvation. So when people see you not submitting, you're showing them a picture of Jesus that isn't accurate. And those around you that don't know Jesus are looking at you. And Jesus was a God of submission to the Father's will. And it challenges us. We need to hear from the Lord in those moments. We need the Spirit's guiding because not everything will be black and white. But the truth is, most of us know more than we will let on. That when our refusal to submit is not something out of sin, but rather out of annoyance, rather out of foolishness. Each of us will have to wrestle with what this reality means before the Lord, what it means to us. But Peter's command is clear. We are required to be people of submission in the fashion of our King, Jesus Christ. The scripture is clear. Our flesh will wage war against your soul. So if this feels hard this morning, Peter said it's a war that is waging in your soul. You're right. It is challenging. If it feels hard this morning, no, you're not alone because this is, I kid you not, probably the most challenging part of scripture to me. Love my neighbor, I'm good with. Submit to the government, I struggle with. And for the most part, in looking at all human history, it's a lot better than what's been out there. And I still struggle. But church, the Lord reminded me this week, and I want to remind you, there is no such thing as a Christian who will not submit. At the end of your days, you will bend a knee to the King Jesus Christ, and you will declare him Lord of Lords. We do submit to God, and through submission to him and out of obedience to him, we submit to his holy and precious words, which calls us at times to challenging things. And when we walk through this life, we can submit to those around us, even when things are annoying or foolish at times, because we want those around us to see Jesus. This is a challenging teaching, but it's important. So here is your challenge today. You can go back. You can say, I don't know if he preached that right. I'm going to go back and read it. You can reread it a bunch of times. And then the question you will have to answer today is, will I submit to God's word? Because it's clear what it calls us to. Let's pray as the worship team comes forward. God in heaven, would you meet us in our Adam and Eve spirits? That do not want to submit, that want to do what we want to do, that want to go where we want to go and say what we want to say. Would you help us to be men and women who would actively look to you as King and submit to you and submit to your word and the orderly institutions you've established around us. Give us wisdom, Lord, to know when something that is being asked of us is sinful and we cannot. And Lord, give us a spirit that even when things are annoying or foolish, that we would be willing to, not because they are good, but because you are good. And that through your submission, you bought us salvation. Lord, it is in that vein that we worship you through one final song. In Jesus' name we pray all things.